السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. Welcome you all back to part 2 of Juz 4, inshallah, as we continue from verse 144. I ask for Allah's protection from shaitan. I begin in the name of Allah, who is most kind and most merciful. Verse 143 onwards, yes? You did indeed wish for death, martyrdom, before you met it. Now you have seen it openly with your own eyes. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is no more than a messenger, and indeed many messengers have passed away before him. If he dies or is killed, will you then turn back on your heels as disbelievers? And he who turns back on his heels, not the least harm will he do to Allah. And Allah will give reward to those who are grateful. This, as you will recall, were the verses revealed when the rumor spread that the Prophet ﷺ had been killed. It was a false rumor because the companion who looked very similar resembled the Prophet ﷺ. His name was... A homework question for you all was Musab. Sisters, the rumour spread because he had been killed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, look, no difference will it make to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but is that what you will do? No person can ever die except by Allah's leave and at an appointed term. And whoever desires a reward in this world, we shall give it him. We shall give him of it. And whoever desires a reward in the hereafter, we shall give him thereof. And we shall reward the grateful. And many a prophet fought, and along with him fought large bands of religious learned men. But they never lost heart for that which did befall them in Allah's way, nor did they weaken or degrade themselves. So again, if any event makes you a bit tired, don't lose heart. This is in Allah's way. And again, just remember a dawah at home when you're doing it on your own. Here you had a team of all these burgundy scarf, beautiful sisters to work together. And this was to work in Allah's way. So don't find it difficult. Don't get distressed by anything. Don't lose heart for that which did befall them in Allah's way, nor did they weaken or degrade themselves. And Allah loves the patient. So again and again, patience and taqwa. Sisters, how patient are we? Because patience in the morning, at the start of a day is easy. We're all fresh and we're happy. It's that patience at night. Do you persevere and carry on? And they said nothing but our Lord, forgive. Beautiful dua again. Can we highlight the dua, please? And they said nothing but, our Lord, forgive us our sins and our transgressions in keeping our duties to you. Establish our feet firmly and give us victory over the disbelieving folk. Can you all recite the dua, please, in Arabic? Mashallah, good, but that was one or two sisters. Can we have everybody together now? Rabbana. Everybody. So Allah gave them the reward of this world and the excellent reward of the hereafter. And Allah loves the muhsineen. O you who believe, if you obey those who disbelieve, they will send you back on your heels and you will turn back from your faith as losers. sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is warning us that if you listen to them. So question arises, how many times do I go back on my heels when I am obeying those who disbelieve? Very clear, isn't it, in verse 149? Nay, Allah is your Mawla. He is your helper, your protector, and He is the best of helpers. Question arises, do I consider Allah as my helper, or am I too embarrassed to face Him? Because you can only go to somebody for help when you have a rapport with them, when you have a relationship with someone. I can only ask for help from those that I feel comfortable with. True? If you miss your fajr, if you miss your salah, you don't cover yourselves properly like you meant to, can you turn to Allah for help? You misbehave at the wedding at the weekend, can you turn to Allah for help on a Monday morning? We shall cast terror into their hearts of those who disbelieve, because they joined others in worship with Allah. And this could be your nafs, this could be your society, your kids, whoever. We think we never did shirk. We don't go to a temple and worship idols. But this can be lots of things, so be careful. We shall cast terror into the hearts of those who disbelieve, because they joined others in worship with Allah. So this could be terror of our children, of our families, for which He had sent no authority. Their abode will be the fire, and how evil is the abode of the zalimeen. And Allah did indeed fulfill His promise to you when you were killing them. When you were killing them, i.e. your enemy, with His permission, until the moment you lost your courage and fell to disputing about the order, and disobeyed after He showed you of the booty. So this was the love of the wealth that distracted the Sahaba and the companions at Uhud. As a result, there was a war that they were winning, they had won, went turned into defeat, turmoil, mayhem, and injury, and the loss of lives. Sadly to say. How many times do we do this? We lose our own selves because of the love of the wealth, love of the dunya. You lost your courage and fell to disputing about the order and disobeyed after He showed you of the booty which you love. Among you some that desire this world and some that desire the hereafter. Just take a pause and have a think. What do my du'as always ask for, the dunya or the akhirah? Am I always asking for a new car, new dress, money, wealth, children's rishta, whatever, proposals for my kids, bigger, better house? What am I focused, am I du'as focused for the akhirah? Then He made you flee from them, your enemy, that He might test you, but surely He forgave you, and Allah is most gracious to the believers. And remember when you ran away dreadfully, without even casting a side glance at anyone, and the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in your rear calling you back? There did Allah give you one distress after another, by way of requital to teach you not to grieve for that which had escaped you. How many times do we grieve over something? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us here. I gave you that to teach you. It's gone, it's happened. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Thank the Lord for what you have. To teach you not to grieve for that which had escaped you, nor for that which had befallen you. And Allah is well aware of all that you do. Then, after the distress, He sent down security for you, subhanAllah. Slumber overtook a party of you. Remember when they had that short catnap? Slumber overtook a party of you while another party was thinking about themselves as how to save their own selves, ignoring the others and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that's what they'd done. And they thought wrongly of Allah, the thought of ignorance. They said, have we any part in the affair? Say, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, indeed the affair belongs wholly to Allah. They hide within themselves what they dare not reveal to you, saying, if we had anything to do with the affair, none of us would have been killed here. So So they were the hypocrites who hadn't gone, and they were relieved, remember? And, you know, we would have died as well. Say, even if you had remained in your homes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all aware of those secret talks, their consultations, their private chats. You know, when you're private chatting and texting, do you think nobody's watching? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us in these verses, He knows what's going on. Say, they hide within themselves what they dare not reveal to you, saying, if we had anything to do with the affair, none of us would have been killed here. Say, even if you had remained in your homes, those for whom death was decreed would certainly have gone forth to the place of their death. This again proves to us that wherever you may hide, wherever you may be doing, if death is designed for you at that time, at that place, it will happen. And if it's not meant to be at that place, but it's that time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make sure you get there, one way or another. Is it not true? How many times do we hear of accidents? Those children were not meant to be driving that car. They were not meant to be there. But they were. Because their death was designed there, it happened that way. Oh, that auntie so-and-so, she'd come from the homeland. She'd only come here for 2 weeks and she's died here. Or vice versa. Even if you had remained in your homes, those for whom death was decreed would certainly have gone forth to the place of their death, but that Allah might test what is in your breast and to purify that which was in your hearts. And Allah is all knower of what is in your breast. Verse 155. Those of you who turned back on the day the two hosts met, the Battle of Uhud. It was Shaitan who caused them to backslide, to run away, because of some sins they had earned. Remember, it's our sins that make us tired in Quran class, make us tired in Salah. So think about it, reflect. What sin have I done that's preventing me from absorbing this? Shaitan will distract us in doing good deeds. Allah Ta'ala is telling us here again. But Allah indeed has forgiven them. Surely Allah is oft forgiving, most forbearing. O you who believe, be not like those who disbelieve, the hypocrites, and who say to their brethren when they travel through the earth or go out to fight, if they had stayed with us, they would not have died or been killed. What word does not exist in the vocabulary of a believer? Thank you. Well done. You'll get a prize for that, mashallah. If, no such thing for a believer. If they had stayed with us, they would not have died or been killed. So that Allah may make it a cause of regret in their hearts. It is Allah that gives life and causes death. And Allah is all seer of what you do. And if you are killed or die in the way of Allah, forgiveness and mercy from Allah are far better than all that they gather. Amass means gather of worldly wealth. And whether you die or are killed, verily, unto Allah you shall be gathered. Highlight verse 158, because again, this is a very important ayah that will put us in our track, will perfect our behavior, inshallah. Whatever messing around you're doing, you shall be gathered to Allah. However much you may run away from the truth today, whether you die or whether you're killed, the return is to Allah. You shall be gathered unto Allah. And by the mercy of Allah, you dealt with them gently. And you have been severe and harsh-hearted. They would have broken away from about you. So pass over their faults and ask Allah's forgiveness for them. And consult them in the affairs. Then when you have taken the decision, put your trust in Allah. Question arises, do I put my trust in Allah? Do I put my trust in Allah? Put your trust in Allah. Certainly Allah loves those. SubhanAllah. This brings a smile on everybody's face. Because if you said yes to the first question, then Allah loves those who put their trust in Him. When we send our children off, when we all disperse in the morning for different things, do we put our trust in Allah that we're all going to return like birds at night? If Allah helps you, none can overcome you. And if He forsakes you, leaves you, who is there after Him that can help you truly? Allah is making us think and asking us this rhetorical question. Look, if He doesn't help you, is there anyone that can help you, sisters? Is there anyone that can help you?
No.
And in Allah alone, let believers put their trust. Verse 161. It is not for any prophet to take illegally a part of the booty. This was on that misunderstanding that took place. Remember? And whosoever deceives his companions as regards the booty, he shall bring forth on the day of resurrection that which he took illegally. Then every person shall be paid in full what he has earned, and they shall not be dealt with unjustly. Remember the hadith? Sahih al-Bukhari, volume 4, hadith, number 307. I'd like you to look that up. I've given you the reference. Sahih al-Bukhari, volume 4, hadith, number 307. And I want you to look it up and write it in, please. It was narrated by Abu Huraira about the hadith of the man who stole, and then on that day he will have it hanging on the day of resurrection around his neck. Good. Sahih al-Bukhari, volume 4, hadith number 307. Verse 162. Is then one who follows the good pleasure of Allah by not taking illegally a part of the booty like the one who draws on himself the anger, the wrath of Allah by taking a part of the booty illegally, ghulul, by stealing? His abode is hell, and worst indeed is that destination. They are in varying grades with Allah, and Allah is all-seer of what they do. Indeed, Allah conferred a great favour on the believers when He sent among them a messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Question arises, do I think of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sunnah as a favour? Or do I tell my children off when they have a beard? Do I dislike it when my husband keeps a beard? Do I find it hard to sit on the floor and eat? Do I find it hard to use my hands to eat? These are small but important sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Do I fast on Mondays and Thursdays? Mondays and Thursdays. Do I follow the sunnah or not? Look at this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us it's a favour on the believers. How do I look at the sunnah? How do I follow the hadith? Is it a favour or is it not? Astaghfirullah. We should thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this favour. Indeed, Allah. And what is the best way of being thankful? How do you thank something for something? How do you thank someone? By? To act upon it, exactly. By using it. Indeed, Allah conferred a great favour on the believers when He sent among them a messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from among themselves. Look at all these things that He taught us to do, that He did. Point form, please. Reciting unto them His verses, number one. Number two, purifying them from sins. And instructing them in the book of the Quran, in the books of Quran, and the sunnah, the wisdom, hikmah, of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. While before that they had been in clear error. Before that they had been in clear error. What is the matter with you? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking us now, making us think, come on, what's the problem? What's the matter with you? What is this approach? Who talks like this to us? normally.
As a mother, exactly.
Well done, yes, sister, for us. Well done, Mashla. What is the matter with you? When a single disaster smites you, although you smote your enemies with one twice as great, you say, from where does this come? To us, say to them, it is from yourselves, because of your evil deeds, and Allah has power over all things. So as soon as you're in the slightest of trouble, you get distressed. As long as it's all rosy-cosy, we are happy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has reminded you. And what you suffered of the disaster on the day, on the battle of, and what you suffered of the disaster on the day of the battle of Uhud, when the two armies met, was by the leave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in order that he might test the believers, and that he might test the hypocrites. It was said to them, come fight in the way of Allah, or defend yourselves. They said, had we known that fighting will take place, we would certainly have followed you. They were that day nearer to disbelief than to faith, saying with their mouths what was not in their hearts. And Allah has full knowledge of what they conceal. What is conceal? If we're hiding any grudges, any filth in our hearts, who's watching it? Who's seeing it? Is it not best to get it clean now? Is it not best to get rid of it? Any ill feelings with anyone? Let's make that a homework for today. If you've got any ill feelings with anybody today, go and make friends with them. Forgive them. Overlook them. Repress that anger. We've seen so many lessons today. Be patient. Move on. And Allah has full knowledge of what they conceal. Is it not best to clean that heart that Allah sees all the time? Verse 168. They are the ones who said about their killed brethren while they themselves sat at home. If only they had listened to us. So again, they're saying the same thing. They would not have been killed. Say, avert death from your own selves if you speak the truth. If you think you're so clever, then okay. Avert death from yourselves. So now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this was the attitude of the hypocrites, remember? Who was the leader of the hypocrites, everybody? Abdullah bin Ubay. Good. Excellent. Think not of those who are killed. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, so the people that you thought were killed, look about. This is how you need to look at them. Think not of those who are killed in the way of Allah as dead. Nay, they are alive with their Lord, and they have provision. They rejoice in what Allah has bestowed upon them of His bounty, and rejoice for the sake of those who have not yet joined them, but are left behind, I not yet martyred, that on them no fear shall come, nor shall they grieve. They rejoice in a grace and a bounty from Allah, and that Allah will not waste the reward of the believers. Subhanallah. Never ever will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala waste, will He? Never ever will He waste the reward of the believers. Those who answered the call of Allah and the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after being wounded, for those of them who did good deeds and feared Allah, there is a great reward. Subhanallah. Sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reassuring us all that look, this is the reward. What did we see in that beautiful hadith? What happens to the martyrs? How do they spend their barzakh, their time after leaving this dunya? The in-between time between. Barzakh is the time between the world and the day of resurrection. Good. Excellent, Sister Zadia. So where do they spend their time, the martyrs? As birds. Did anyone say the colour? Green birds. We learnt from that hadith, remember? Those believers unto whom the people, hypocrites, said, Verily, the people, pagans, have gathered against you, a great army. This is when that rumor came again, remember? That he's coming back with a great army. So distractions, again, rumors, propaganda. Does it happen today? Did it happen then? What's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling the believers to do? Exactly. Hold firm. Don't lose heart. Remain calm. Verse 173, those believers unto whom the believers hypocrites said, verily the pagans have gathered against your great army. Therefore fear them, get scared, get worried, come on. But only increase them in faith. And what did the believers say? This is the problem today, because we weren't believing in the first place, because we were flimsy, we faltered and we fell. We weakened. But those with faith, they strengthen. What happened to them? It only highlight this, please. It only increased them in faith. And they said, Allah alone is sufficient for us. They said, Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal waqeel. And they said, Allah alone is sufficient for us, and He is the best disposer of affairs. So they returned with grace and bounty from Allah. No harm touched them. And they followed the good pleasure of Allah. And Allah is the owner of great bounty. It is only Shaitan that suggests to you the fear of his supporters and friends. Islamophobia is from Shaitan. Subhanallah. See how this defines what's going on around us today? Verse 175. Can we all read this together, please? So it really goes in. Let's read the English. It is only...
Shaitan.
Read it together. Let's read it together. It is only Shaitan that suggests to you the fear of his awliya. Supporters and friends, polytheists, disbelievers in the oneness of Allah and in his messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So fear them not, but fear me. If you are true believers. Highlight the end of that ayah, please. So fear them not, but fear me. Next time you're afraid what your friend might say if you wear an abaya. Next time you're afraid what your work people might say if you go for salah. Remember this ayah. So fear them not, but fear me. If you are true believers. And let not those grieve you of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who rush with haste to disbelieve. So those who, you see, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was going to feel hurt and upset when they wouldn't listen. But look how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reassuring the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who rush with haste to disbelieve. Verily, not the least harm will they do to Allah. It is Allah's will to give them no portion in the hereafter. For them there is a great torment. Verily, those who purchase disbelief, verily, those who purchase disbelief at the price of faith, not the least harm will they do to Allah. For them there is a painful torment. And let not the disbelievers think that our postponing of their punishment is good for them. We postpone, remember? We postpone the punishment only so that they may increase in their wrongdoings, in sinfulness. And for them is a disgracing torment. This again reflects Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling us that those people who you think are doing wrong, but getting away with it, I'm only letting them get away with it for a time so that they can do what they want. Allah will not leave the believers in the state in which you are now until He distinguishes the wicked from the good. Nor will Allah disclose to you the secrets of the ghaib, the unseen. For Allah chooses of His messengers whom He wills. Thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's chosen us to listen to the Quran. So believe in Allah and His messengers. And if you believe and fear Allah, then for you there is a great reward. So once you believe and fear Allah, can you do anything out of line? And what does this then result in? This is taqwa. See, I need you here for taqwa. Sisters, If you believe and fear Allah, then for you there is a great reward. SubhanAllah. And let not those who covetously withhold of that which Allah has bestowed on them of His bounty think that it is good for them, and so they do not pay the obligatory zakah. Nay, it will be worse for them. Sisters, again, we're into the month of Rajab. Can I remind you all, sort your zakah out so you pay it on time. ASAP. Nay, it will be worse for them the things which they covetously withheld shall be tied to their necks like a collar on the day of resurrection. So we have it in the hadith that I've told you to write for homework, and we have it here in the ayah as well. And to Allah belongs the heritage of the heavens and the earth, and Allah is well acquainted. Allah is well acquainted with all that you do. So you can't pretend that He doesn't know. You'll get away with it. He knows, and He will test us, either in some way on the dunya and akhirah. And truly, nobody wants to be tested there, do they? Indeed, Allah has heard the statement of those Jews who say, truly Allah is poor and we are rich. Astaghfirullah. We shall record what they have said and their killing of the prophets unjustly, and we shall say, taste you the torment of the burning fire. This is because of that evil which your hands have sent before you. And certainly Allah is never unjust to His slaves. As we approach the end of Surah Ali Imran, verse 183, those Jews who said, verily Allah has taken our promise not to believe in any messenger unless He brings to us an offering which the fire shall devour, say, verily there came to you messengers before me with clear signs, and even with what you speak of, why then did you kill them? SubhanAllah. Allah Ta'ala is now asking the Prophet ﷺ to question them. Look, they gave you the truth, and you sort of said that you believed in them, but you still killed them. Then why did you kill them, if you are truthful? Then if they reject you, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so were messengers rejected before you came with al-bayyinah and the scripture and the book of enlightenment. How would you describe these last two ayahs for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in particular? Not just guiding, I wouldn't say guiding. Encouraging, excellent, yes. Encouraging, reassuring, consoling. Look, don't worry, you're doing your job. Again, we can just try, pass on the message, you can just try. You're doing your job, but look, this is what they did before. And then for those who are rejecting and denying all the time, ignoring Allah Ta'ala saying this crucial line again. Everyone shall taste death. Verse 185. Kullu nafsin dha'ikatul maut. Everyone shall taste death. And only on the day of resurrection shall you be paid your wages in full. And whoever is removed away from the fire and admitted to paradise, he indeed is successful. We all want to be successful, don't we? Allah Ta'ala is giving us the true definition of successful here. The true successful is the one who is away from the fire and admitted to paradise. The life of this world is only the enjoyment of deception. You shall certainly be tried and tested in your wealth and properties and in your personal selves. And you shall certainly hear much that will grieve you from those who receive the scripture before you. SubhanAllah. So is this, when we hear this on the media and on the news, is it something new? Is it something new? No. You shall certainly hear much. Constantly Allah Ta'ala is reminding us in the ayahs of the Quran. Why do we get all disturbed? Why do people spend hours and hours on the news? Because they don't know about these ayahs and this reassurance and encouragement from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that they will certainly test you. And you will certainly hear loads of grief from them. You will certainly hear much that will grieve you. In other words, you will get grief. But what to do from those who receive the scripture before you and from those who ascribe partners to Allah, those who do shirk? But what should you do? React? Should you react, sisters? Can I have answers loud and clear? Should we react? If they have a protest, should we have a bigger protest? No. What should we do? What does it say? What's the important word in this verse? Persevere. Be patient. But if you persevere patiently and become al-muttaqeen, then verily that will be a determining factor in all affairs. And that is from the great matters which you must hold on with all your efforts to remain calm, to be patient. Somebody says anything to you, do this. Seal your lips with glue and smile. Just smile. And inside, just say, And remember when Allah took a covenant from those who were given the scripture to make it the news of the coming of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the religious knowledge known and clear to mankind, and not to hide it. This is the problem today when we hide the facts. That's why you all have the Mus'haf in front of you. You're all reading yourselves, aren't you? What are you reading, girls, everybody? The Holy Quran. Because they hid it. They would not give the copy to everybody. They threw it away behind their backs, ignoring it, and purchased with it some miserable gain. And indeed, worst is that which they bought. Think not that those who rejoice in what they have done and love to be praised for what they have not done, think not you that they are rescued from the torment. Okay? So you know when somebody outwardly might look like he's doing really well, but he's a disbeliever, or not listening to the ayahs, not abiding by Allah's commands? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, think not that they are rescued from the torment. For them is a painful torment. And to Allah belongs the dominion of the heavens and the earth. And Allah has power over all things. So as the surah is being concluded, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding all of us. Who is he? Why? Why are we doing all this? Who is he? He's the greatest. He is the king of the dominion. وَلِلَّهِ مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ. Verily, in the creation of the heavens and the earth and in the alternation of night and day, there are indeed signs for men of understanding. Sisters, truly, all of us, hands up if you wish to be intelligent. Hands up if you wish to be intelligent. Hands up if anybody's ever called you, you're sick and you don't know anything. I'm sure we've all had it. So you've never been called that? Sorry? Nowadays. Allah Ta'ala is telling us, indeed signs for men of understanding, the ones who reflect upon Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala's universe. Subhanallah. And what a better way of reflecting with opening the Quran and listening to his ayahs, sisters. Do dua that Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala makes this journey easy and smooth for all of us, inshallah. And accept it from us as well. Remember the prayer of Ibrahim alayhi salam and Ismail alayhi salam. They're building the Kaaba and they say, Ya Rabbi, accept this duty from me. Never think it's big. Astaghfirullah. Look at this. Verily, in the creation of the heavens and the earth, the last 10 verses as we start, the last part of Surah Al Imran. What is special about these last 10 verses, please? The du'as and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would recite them at tahajjud time. Excellent. Well done. So let's look at this together, verse 190. Verily, in the creation of the heavens and the earth, and in the alternation of night and day, there are indeed signs. There are indeed signs for men of understanding. Those who remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always and in prayers, standing, sitting and lying down on their sides. And think deeply about the creation of the heavens and the earth. Our Lord, you have not created all this without purpose. Glory to you, exalted. Exalted, subhanAllah, you above all that they associate with you as partners. Give us salvation from the torment of the fire. Our Lord, verily whom you admit to the fire, indeed you have disgraced him, and never will the Zalimun find any helpers. Our Lord, verily we have heard the call of one calling to faith. Believe in your Lord, and we have believed our Lord. Forgive us our sins, and expiate from us our evil deeds, and make us die in the state of the righteous along with the al-abrar, the pious and the righteous. And du'as and du'as and du'as, du'as that we all need. It's like insurance policies coming out of the Quran. Can anybody go astray with these du'as? Can anybody be disturbed or upset? Our Lord, grant us what you promised to us through your messengers, and disgrace us not, Ya Rabbi, Ya Rabbi. Don't disgrace us. Don't humiliate us neither in the dunya or the akhirah. This is what it means. Our Lord, grant us what you have promised us unto us through your messengers, and disgrace us not on the day of resurrection, for you never break your promise. So their Lord, subhanAllah, so they begged and they begged like this. And look at the beauty then. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reassures all of us. They begged and begged. And then Allah ta'ala accepted of them, so their Lord accepted of them their supplication and answered them. Never will I allow to be lost the work of any of you. Just the men or the women? Nah. Any of you, be he male or female. Equal opportunities. No sexual discrimination. No sexual discrimination. You're all the same. I will not let it go wasted. You are members one of another. So those who emigrated and were driven out from their homes and suffered harm in my cause and who fought and were killed in my cause, verily I will expiate from them their evil deeds. What's another word for expiate? Remove. Good. I will expiate from them their evil deeds and admit them into gardens under which rivers flow. A reward from Allah, and with Allah is the best of rewards, subhanAllah. Best of nations and best of rewards. What a wonderful feeling. Let not the free disposal and affluence of the disbelievers throughout the land deceive you. Again, sisters, if you find it hard to train your children or your family or anyone, highlight verse 196. That Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, let not the free disposal there do what they like. Go where they please, drink, be merry, for tomorrow you will die. Let this not deceive you. A brief enjoyment, and verse 197, a brief enjoyment then their ultimate abode. Abode is home, is hell, and worst indeed is that place for rest. But for those who fear their Lord are gardens under which rivers flow. In paradise, therein are they to dwell forever, an entertainment from Allah, and that which is with Allah is the best for al-abrar. And there are certainly among the people of the scripture those who believe in Allah and in that in which has been revealed to you, and in that which has been revealed to you, and in that which has been revealed to them, humbling themselves before Allah. They do not sell the verses of Allah for a little price. For them is a reward with their Lord. Surely Allah is swift in account. Sari'ul hisab. He is quick to reckon. The last verse of this wonderful surah. O you who believe, endure and be more patient. Endure meaning steadfast, remain steadfast. Endure and be more patient. And guard your territory by stationing army units permanently at the places from where the enemy can attack you. And fear Allah so that you may be successful. Ameen to all the dua's. As we come to the end of the juz, we start Surah An-Nisa. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala finishes Surah Al-Imran with fear Allah and starts Surah An-Nisa. This is a wonderful bridge between two big surahs. Sister Surah An-Nisa means what? You tell me. What does it mean? Women. Is there a surah called the men in the Quran? Is there not? A rijal, no? Never heard of it?
No.
Neither have I. Alhamdulillah. Sisters, aren't we blessed to be women? And be believing women. And we have a surah named after us. The fourth surah of the Quran, revealed at Medina after the Battle of Uhud, dealing with the situation of the martyrs. Because there were 70 shuhada due to the mayhem at Uhud, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed these verses to deal with the rulings for the orphans and the widows and inheritance laws. I begin in the name of Allah, the most gracious, the most merciful. O mankind, be dutiful to your Lord, who created you from a single person and from him, Adam. He created his wife Hawa, Eve, and from them both he created many men and women, and fear Allah, through whom you demand your mutual rights. And do not cut the relations of the wombs of your kinship. Surely Allah is ever an all-watcher over you. Subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us to keep our what? What's the other word for this? Family ties, excellent. And give unto orphans their property, and do not exchange your bad things for their good ones. Endeavour not their substance by adding it to your substance. Do not gobble up their money, their food, their wealth, by saying it's all of ours. Surely this is a great sin. And if you fear that you shall not be able to deal justly with the orphan girls, then marry other women of your choice, 2 or 3 or 4. But if you fear that you shall not be able to deal justly with them, then only one, all that your right hands possess, that is nearer to prevent you from doing injustice. Sisters, we know from the hadith that the Prophet ﷺ said, any man who has married more than once, has other wives and deals unjustly with them, he will come with half a body on the day of resurrection. And give to the women, these are now the nikah conditions, the conditions of nikah, marriage in Islam. And give to women whom you marry their mahar, their obligatory, do you see this word, obligatory, bridal money given by the husband to his wife at the time of marriage. With a good heart. See how these, every word is so important. Not in a grudge, not in a grump, but with a good heart. Happily. But if they, of their own good pleasure, remit, what's the word, another word for remit? Sister Razia, what does remit mean?
Let go, leave it.
Yeah, excellent. Let you off, let go, leave it. Remit any part of it to you, take it. And enjoy it without fear of any harm, as Allah has made it lawful. And give not unto the foolish your property which Allah has made a means of support for you, but feed and clothe them with it. So if you have a foolish wife, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling the men how to deal with her. If she's going to spend all her budget in 2 weeks instead of 4 weeks, then okay, give her the money and bring her the what? Two things, bring them home to her. Two things, what's he bringing home to her? Food and clothing, exactly. Then feed and clothe them with it, and speak to them words of kindness and justice. and try orphans as regards their intelligence until they reach the age of marriage. If then you find sound judgment in them, release their property to them. Again, so they don't waste it. Because if a child who's not at the age of maturity is given too much wealth, what will they spend it on? Sweets and games. A youngster, a youth, could go and buy himself a new car. But truly, it's not sound judgment, is it? Then release their property to them, but consume it not wastefully and hastily, fearing that they should grow up, and whoever amongst guardians is rich, he should take no wages. But if he is poor out of the guardians, then he's allowed. Do you see the difference? So again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is warning the guardians not to waste their money, not to spend it all by the time they've grown up, and then say, I'm sorry, it's all been used on your expenditure, on your fees. Wrong. And if anybody is well off, are they allowed to take any income out of it?
No.
But if they are poor and needy, then are they?
Yes.
But if he is poor, let him have for himself what is just and reasonable, according to his labour. And when you release their property to them, take witness in their presence, and Allah is all sufficient in taking account. There is a share for men and a share for women. So subhanAllah, who says we don't have equal rights in Islam? Who says that the women are oppressed in Islam? Well, maybe we can open up Surah An-Nisa in front of them then. SubhanAllah. There's a share for men and a share for women. Because remember, in the olden days, there was no share for women. And the theory and the hikmah we looked in tafsir, there's a lot of wisdom behind the double share and the half share, the less share. Breadwinner and not breadwinner. Do you see the difference? Sisters, Allah Ta'ala says that there's a share for men and a share for women from what is left by parents and those nearest related. Whether the property be small or large, a legal share. And when the relatives and the orphans, the masakin, the poor are present at the time of division, give them out of the property and speak to them words of kindness. Speak to them words of kindness and justice. And let those executors and guardians have the same fear in their minds as they would have for their own if they had left weak offspring behind. Who's this warning to? Who's this warning to? That what? You are blessed that you are not leaving behind. Exactly. That you are the givers. It could have been your children who were the orphans today. Do you follow? So let them fear Allah and speak right words. Verily, indeed, inna, verily, those who unjustly eat up the property of orphans, they eat up only fire into their bellies, and they will be burnt in the blazing fire. Allah commands you as regards your children's inheritance, to the male a portion equal to that of two females. If they are only daughters, two or more, their share is 2/3 of the inheritance. If only one, her share is a half. For parents, a 6th share of inheritance to each. If the deceased left children, if no children and their parents are there, only heirs, the mother has a 3rd. The mother has a 3rd. If the deceased left brothers, the mother has a 6th. The distribution in all cases is after the payment of legacies. Legacies he may have bequeathed or debts. You know not which of them, whether your parents or your children, are nearest to you in benefit. These 6 shares are ordained by Allah, and Allah is ever all knower, all wise. In that which your wives leave, your share is a half. If they have no child, but if they leave a child, you get a 4th of that which they leave after payment of legacies. What did we, when we did the seed in detail, what were these legacies? Funeral payments, yes, payment for the funeral, any debts, okay? after payment of legacies, that they may have bequeathed all debts. In that which you leave there, your wife's share is a fourth. If you leave no child, or if you leave a child, they get an eighth of that which leave after payment of legacies. Every time it's the same thing, that you may have bequeathed all debts. If the man or woman whose inheritance is in question has left neither ascendants nor descendants, okay? Was left a brother or a sister, each one of the two gets a sixth. Each one of the two gets a sixth, but if more than two, they share in a third. After payment of legacies, he or she may have bequeathed all debts, so that no loss is caused to anyone. This is a commandment from Allah, and Allah is ever all-knowing, most forbearing. These are the limits of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are the limits set by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whosoever obeys Allah's commands and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be admitted to gardens under which rivers flow, to abide in it, and that will be the great success. That is the one who obeys. Verse 14 tells us, and whosoever disobeys Allah, and His Messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and transgresses his limits, He will cast him into the fire to abide in it, and he shall have a disgraceful torment. And those of your women who commit illegal sexual intercourse, take the evidence of four witnesses from amongst you against them. And if they testify, confine them to houses until death comes to them, or Allah ordains for them some other way. And the two persons, man and woman, among you who commit illegal sexual intercourse, hurt them both. And if they repent, promise Allah that they will never repeat and do righteous good deeds, leave them alone. Surely Allah is ever all forgiving, the one who forgives and accepts repentance, and He is most merciful. SubhanAllah. Even after such a big sin of adultery, Allah Ta'ala is saying, repent. He is most merciful. He is the one who accepts repentance. Who are we to blame anyone? Anyone can serve anyone of us. If we feel we've sinned, what do? We turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if anyone comes to us and says that, tell them to turn to Allah. You don't need to know what they've done. Forget it. Leave it. It's not like in other religions that they have to go and confess to a person. Repent before Allah. Because look, Allah accepts only the repentance of those who do evil in ignorance and foolishness and repent soon afterwards. It is they whom Allah will forgive, and Allah is ever all-knower, all-wise, subhanAllah. And of no effect is the repentance of those who continue to do evil deeds until death faces one of them. So constantly doing sin after sin after sin. No effect is the repentance of those who continue to do evil deeds. Allah Ta'ala, again, is it clear or is it not clear? Is it clear?
Yes.
So if you constantly carry on doing, give me a sin that is common in today's society.
Backbiting.
Yes. If you're going to backbite and then do toba, 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 and then carry on backbiting, do you think Allah Ta'ala is going to forgive that sin? Those who continue to do evil deeds until death faces one of them. And he says, now I repent, nor of those who die while they are disbelievers. For them we have prepared a painful torment. Frightening, but true. O you who believe, you are forbidden to inherit women against their will. Forced marriages in Islam, does it say that here? Forced inheritance of women, is it allowed in Islam? No. No way. O you who believe, you are forbidden to inherit women against their will, and you should not treat them with harshness. And you may take away you should not treat them with harshness, that you may take away part of the mahar you have given them, unless they commit open and legal sexual intercourse and live with them honorably if you dislike them. It may be that you dislike a thing and Allah brings through it a great deal of good. But if you intend to replace the wife by another, if you intend to replace a wife by another and you've given one of them a kintar, like loads and loads of gold, are you allowed to take it back? Are you allowed to take it back? No. Even if you've given them a kintar of gold, i.e. a great amount of mahar, take not the least bit of it back. Would you take it wrongfully without a right? With a manifest sin. And how could you take it back while you have gone in unto each other? What is this describing in a discreet manner? What's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describing here in verse 21? Marital relationships. Good. Jazakallah khair. And they have taken from you a firm and strong covenant. And marry not women whom your fathers married, except what has already passed. Indeed, it was shameful and most hateful and an evil way. Allahu Akbar. Again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, if it's happened before, then fine. But don't let it happen now. Before, you're in a time of ignorance. You didn't know. You didn't open up the ayahs of the Quran. But now that you have, don't let it happen again. As we approach the last verse of this juz, verse 23, forbidden to you for marriage all the mahram relationships that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbids. Forbidden to you for marriage are your mothers, your daughters, your sisters, your father's sisters. Who are they? Puppies, your aunts, your mother's sisters, your khala, your brother's daughters, your nieces, your sister's daughters, your nieces, your foster mothers who gave you suck, your foster milk sucking sisters, your foster milk sucking sisters, your wives' mothers, who's that in other words? Mother-in-laws. Your stepdaughters under your guardianship, born of your wives to whom you have gone in, but there is no sin on you if you have not gone in them to marry their daughters. That is your stepdaughters, yes? The wives of your sons, who's that? Daughter-in-laws. The wives of your sons who spring from your own loins. And two sisters in wedlock at the same time, except for what has already passed. Verily, Allah is oft forgiving, most merciful. Inna Allaha kana ghafuru rahima. Subhanallah. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. All praise and thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as we come to the end of Juz 4. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our tiny efforts, inshallah, and allow us to implement and act upon the ayahs of the Quran as we study them. Ameen. Rabbana taqabbal minna, innaka antas samiul alim, wa tub alayna, innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun alal mursaleen, walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.